I come to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Words are important. Words spoken and unspoken. They can build up or they can tear down. They can bind up wounds or break them open, if not causing new ones. I can remember being told by a few adults as a child, and probably more as a teenager, to watch my words, oftentimes because they knew I was about to say something, let's say, a little sassy. That probably hasn't changed much. As I have matured, though, I have learned the importance of trying to select just the right word. What is it exactly I'm trying to convey? Is there a better word for what I'm trying to message or communicate? And sometimes words fail me. Being witness to something beautiful or awe-inspiring can leave me feeling inadequate to articulate the experience. We find in our gospel reading this morning Jesus, James, John, and Peter trekking across the land. This coming in on the heels of Peter's confession. You remember it from a couple of weeks ago. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. The Messiah, Peter answered. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus then tells the disciples for the first time that he was going to endure suffering, and not just suffering, but death. And on the third day, he would rise again. Then Jesus ordered them to be silent about those things. Silence would be their partner in this matter. No words. Waiting, listening, watching, and processing. 8 days, these four, Jesus, James, John, and Peter, took to complete their journey to a mountain. We do not know what they talked about or didn't talk about, if anything. I mean, what is there really to say when you are just told that your friend, the one you have followed for the last couple of years, your teacher, tells you that he will soon die? 8 days to process, to take it all in, to contemplate every last drop. Again, I'm sure mostly in silence. The four of them find themselves on the mountaintop finally. Exhausted and in true disciple fashion, the disciples rest while Jesus prays. Then we are caught up in this cosmological unveiling. Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus about what is to happen next. Jesus' departure, or the Greek word that is used here is exodus. It's a dual meaning word, alluding to his death and the liberating work that that death will do for humankind. Peter speaks, but we are told he doesn't know what he is saying. He is just trying to make sense of everything that he just witnessed. And I must admit to you this morning, I have found myself becoming like Peter over the past couple of weeks. Then, being swept up in a cloud, more words come booming down, telling them that Jesus, the one who Peter just confessed as Messiah, the one whom they just spent 8 days with, moving across the land, the one who was just seen talking with Moses and Elijah, is God's glory among them. and they are to listen to him. Listen to his words. Listen to what he tells you. Words that will give you life. The cloud goes away, and Jesus is found alone. After seemingly gathering themselves, they leave, and we are told they leave not talking about what they just lived through and experienced. Just silence, telling no one anything. It's a divine implementation of space. Silence is not something we are used to here in our time. We're not used to it. We are subjected to the constant stimuli of the world around us. Phones vibrate, TVs flash. Even when we sleep, some of us use those same TVs or sound machines or fans as background noise to lull us to sleep. I think sometimes silence is almost painful. The disciples, though, didn't have words to give to everything that they had just witnessed in the past 2 weeks. But time would be their friend. They now find themselves coming down a mountain, and we get to journey with them as we head into our season of Lent. We're invited to make this expedition in silence. This is why in our liturgy you will find a subduedness coming into our midst over the next few weeks. We attempt to put away the extra, not to punish or rub gravel through our hair, but to create space. Space that we can find and listen to that still small voice that can only be heard when we are still and silent. We get to slow down. We're invited to slow down from the busyness of everything and just be. In all her work, in all of the hustle and bustle of her life, Mother Teresa bathed herself in silence. She understood the importance of emptying oneself. She said it this way: "In the silence of the heart of God speaks. If you face God in prayer in silence, God will speak to you. Then you will know that you are nothing. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence." And if there ever was a time we need souls of prayer, it is right now. Prayer may not seem like much in the face of war and transphobia. It may even seem like it is useless. However, when prayer comes from a soul of great silence, a soul that contemplates God's unbridled love and mercy and irrevocable prejudice to abundant life, we can ask God to make all of that real again and again and again in our time. And in that unleashing of God's want of this abundance of life, we are swept up and begin to see the ways that we can become Jesus's hands and feet in this world. It's the same feet that stood and walked down that mountaintop so long ago. And so we come down the mountain and we begin our walk towards Jerusalem, towards the cross where we will find that glory doesn't shine in brilliance, but flows in red. We come down this mountain knowing how the journey will end. But we don't know what the journey will entail. And yes, we'll hear the stories of Christ's journey to the cross again this year, but our journey won't be the same as it was last year. It is never the same. And so I wonder what would happen if we created space to be silent, to take in what is around us, to revel in lesser, open our hearts, so they in due time can be filled up again. So come down the mountain, watch, pray, and wait. And you and the world through you will be transfigured. Amen.